Lord, we love you. We honor you. We decree there's no God like our God. We belong to you, Jesus, and we will follow no one else. You belong to us, and we are yours, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Spirit of grace. We honor you tonight. Move, have your way in this place. Whatever you desire to say and do and to move, we move with you. You go to the left, we go to the left. You go to the right, we go to the right. We follow you. We don't follow a man's plan. We follow God's plan. We're here to please you, Father, and not man. So, Father, we thank you. And I thank you for this people who have hearing ears to hear the word, and not just to hear the word, but to act and be doers upon the word, because it's in the doing. It's in the doing that we are blessed. So everyone say, it's in the doing that we are blessed. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God's presence. Glory, glory, glory. So good to see each and every one of you. Amen, amen, amen. If I wasn't speaking, I think I'd run around the building. Amen. God's so good. He's so good to us. My, there's no one. There's just no one like him. Ah, my goodness. Well, everybody brought your swords. Everybody brought your Bibles. Just take a few seconds and put your spirits on receive, okay? Some of your receivers may have turned off, you know, because of all the noise out there leaving your home, the kids, the phone, the iPhone, the air, all that noise and clutter. But we turn those things off. We turn them off in our head, and we put our spirits on to receive everything, and even to receive some things that are not spoken, that are not said. That the Holy Spirit does that, you know. You may say, well, I've come to get some answers for a financial problem, financial miracle, and the word goes out speaking on maybe healing or something else. Holy Spirit will still weave answers through the word. He does that. Only he can do things like that, just so supernaturally, where you come and you receive your answers through the word, because the word is so multifaceted. It's just so wonderful. It's so powerful. And he already knows what your need is, what you came for. And so he's just wonderful in doing that. So tonight, you know, at the meetings that we came from, they were just so power-packed and so wonderful. The word was just so rich. You talk about a feast, a table that was just spread before us with each minister and the generals, and of course, God moving and God speaking. You just didn't want to leave. You didn't want the meetings to end. But Pastor Nancy had made a statement in one of the meetings that she was ministering in. And when she said this, it went off in me like a time bomb. You know, I heard that and I thought, oh, that is so good, you know. And that just stayed in with me. And that's what we're going to go with tonight. She made this statement. She said, and this will be the title too, the Holy Spirit will meet you in your movement, not in your hesitation. I'll say that again. That's really good. Yeah. The Holy Spirit will meet you in your movement, not your hesitation. Now, when she made that statement, she was talking about excellence in the spiritual gifts. And she was referring to when people in a service move in tongues and interpretation. And sometimes, you know, she was giving example with her and her husband, how she would always have the part of giving the interpretation and her husband would give the tongue. You know, she would call it the easy part. And a lot of times she would just say, you know, how about I get to speak in tongues, pretty please? You know, I'd like that part, you know. And she would always get the part of interpreting. And she would say there would be a times when the tongue would be given and she wouldn't have anything, and she would just have to draw up, pull up, or dip down and pull out. But she said that she found out through experience that it's the Holy Spirit will meet you in your movement. What I mean by that is someone gives a tongue, and you know, and they call upon you, and whether it's a husband and wife or whatever, and you're to give the interpretation, and you have nothing. Well, you don't search up here mentally. It's not the flow. The words are not in your mind. They're in your spirit. But when you hesitate and pause, then already you've lost it. You've lost the flow, because then you're already going to start operating mentally. And then you're going to try and drum up something in your mind. But when she says the Holy Spirit will meet you in your movement, she said she would just grab the mic and right away speak out, not knowing, not having anything, you know, in her heart or in her spirit, but step out in faith and say, and the Lord says, and just start flowing. And as there she put movement, after she said, and the Lord says, that already was movement. She stepped out in faith. And then the Holy Spirit started giving her more and more and more words. She associates it with, you know, just like you know, on stage, how a magician would pull out a cloth out of, you know, when you pull it out of your sleeve, you know, it just keeps flowing, more and more keeps coming. And that's how the Holy Spirit is. But if you hesitate, if you stop and you're waiting and waiting, you're already done, you're already finished, you know, because you're already in the mental realm and you're going to try and figure things out mentally and give something that's not of the spirit, but of the flesh. May sound good, but Holy Spirit's not in it. So I want to go on that and kind of go in a little bit of a different direction, but on the same vein, that the Holy Spirit meets you in your movement. And this could be in so many areas, not just in operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but God is always moving forward, always. The word says he doesn't slumber and he doesn't sleep. Faith is an active moving force. You're always moving forward. Faith isn't sitting. Faith isn't inactive, but faith is moving actively, right? And faith is a progression, a spiritual movement towards believing God's word, his faithfulness, and his promises. Having movement in your spiritual life, in your walk, is so important. And it goes into so many areas, especially in your faith walk. And as long as a believer continues to move forward, even if it's just baby steps, you know, just taking one step at a time, just believing God and saying, Lord, I'm not sure, and you're just taking little steps. That's movement. That's still movement going forward. And the Holy Ghost will meet you there. And he'll come right upside of you, and he'll lead you, and he'll speak with you, and he'll work with you in that. But if you hesitate, then it'll hinder and shut down the process. And hesitation is kind of like a hindering force. It hinders you from moving forward. The Holy Spirit will always move you at that point and work with you. Stagnation is a state of non-movement. We all know what being stagnant is. Stagnant means it's just simply a state of not flowing or moving. It's a lack of activity, growth, or development. When you hesitate in anything, anything God tells you to do, you know, you sense, you know, you hear this, you know, whether you're at home in the market, or you wake up in the morning, you're praying or whatever, and you hear, you know, sow this amount in church, and it's a large amount. Well, the enemy is not going to tell you to sow a big seed, you know, so you can rule out his voice. You're at home, you're in the marketplace, you're in the car. Go drive over there. See that lady standing there on the corner? Go up and tell her this. And if you hesitate and you know, and then you're filtering it, Lord, is that you? Is that just me? Well, you can already filter out that's not the enemy's voice. So it's either you or the Lord. And 10 out of 10 times, it's going to be God telling you to do that. But if you hesitate, then already you're getting into doubt and then unbelief. And chances are you're not going to end up doing it at all. You know, you're going to be stagnant. And then that leads to disobedience. Because when God tells you to do something, yes, he's merciful. He's a God of many chances. But yet, and he'll work with you. But if you hesitate in those things, then you allow doubt and unbelief to come in. And then you're in the, you know, the mental arena. So being stagnant is a lack of non-movement. Open your Bibles to the book of John, the fifth chapter we're going to be reading. The book of John, the fifth chapter, verses 2-9. And I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified. Now there is in Jerusalem a pool near the Sheep Gate. This pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great number of sick folk, some blind, some crippled, some paralyzed, waiting for the bubbling up of the water. So you have some serious sick folk here. Some that are blind, some are paralyzed, some are lame, some can't walk, some deaf, some other probably diseases that aren't mentioned here. And they're all laying by this pool, waiting for it to be stirred by an angel. And because this area, the Pool of Bethesda, had five porches, a lot of the people, a lot of the sick people there didn't know when the angel was going to come. There wasn't an appointed time where they knew that, oh, in the, you know, in the summer season or in the month of October or fall or towards this feast, the angel's going to come and stir the water. They had no idea when these waters would be stirred. So they just had to wait. Can you imagine? Imagine. Now, a lot of them, because they didn't know, because of their physical ailments, a lot of them lived there because it was a large area. There was five porches. So it was a pretty large area there. And so they're all just waiting. Can you imagine from sun up to sundown, waiting, just waiting by the pool, waiting for the water to be stirred. Maybe today, hey, Joe, what do you think? Do you think today will be our day? You think the angel... Waiting, waiting, waiting for the waters to be stirred and in hopes of them getting healed. And so it goes on to say, for an angel of the Lord went down at appointed seasons into the pool and moved and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in was cured of whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And there was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 long years. 38 years this man had this crippling disease, paralyzed. And 38 years waiting by the pool, waiting for his turn, waiting. And it seemed like every time that the angel would come and stir the water, somebody would get in ahead of him, somebody maybe who could walk. but maybe that had another disease or ailment. And he just waited and waited year after year after year. Imagine 38 long years with this crippling disease. So when Jesus, whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in was cured of whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And then this certain man who had this lingering disorder for 38 years. So when Jesus noticed him, Jesus was in town, Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, knowing that he had already been there a long time in that condition. And he says to the man, he addresses him, and what does Jesus say? Do you want to become well? Well, you may think, what a question, you know. Jesus, of course, was trying to, when he asked the man, do you want to become well? Just by the man being there for that length of time and waiting, and, you know, it's just, are you here for, you know, sympathy, or do you really want to be well? And the man replies with the most bizarre answer. And instead of just telling Jesus, yes, I want to be healed. Master, I've been here 38 years. You know, yes, it's been on my heart. That's all I think about day and night. I want to be healed. I want to be well. I want to be able to get up and walk and go home and kiss my wife and carry my children and live a normal life. But the man didn't say that to Jesus. The man's reply was, the invalid answered, sir, I have nobody when the water is moving to put me into the pool. But while I'm trying to come into it myself, somebody else steps down ahead of me. Sounds like a little bit like a little pity party there, you know. I don't have anybody, you know. It's just that every time that, you know, I try to get some movement or just, you know, somebody steps in and gets healed. This has been happening year after year after year. Well, Jesus knew the man. He knew what was wrong with him. But Jesus was trying, by asking him that question, he was trying to locate the man's faith. He was trying to see if there was any faith in there operating in the man. That's why he said, asked him, do you really want to be well? And so Jesus is trying to see, is there any little bit of faith, you know, inside the man that I could work with? Because faith pleases God. So Jesus says to him, get up and pick up your bed and walk. Jesus gives him the faith command, get up and pick up your bed. So there's already, gives the command for movement, for him to move, some action applied, get up, that's an action word, instantly. So thank God the man got up. He put movement. He didn't hesitate. He didn't give Jesus a million reasons. Well, Jesus, if you can just kind of, you know, here, give me your hand. You know, here, you know, kind of like use them as a crutch, or, you know, call a couple of the brothers that can walk, you know, just kind of like prop me up, guys, a little bit so I get my balance here. I don't believe he did. I believe when the faith command went out and he, and that faith that the man had, he heard the faith command and Jesus says, get up, movement, faith, putting action to his words. So the man does that. Jesus says, pick up your bed and walk. When Jesus gives a word, when Jesus gives a command, it's something about it where, I mean, it just hits your spirit and you know, it's like, yes, sir. You know, your spirit just responds. And I believe that that man, if he would have hesitated, if he would have waited, if he would have dragged his feet on the thing, I don't believe that he would have received his miracle, and he wouldn't have been healed. But the word says, instantly, not as he went, not the next month, not the next day, a little here, a little there, but instantly, the man became well and recovered his strength and picked up his bed and walked. So that's where the movement that the man made. No hesitation, no lingering, no doubting, you know. 38 long years. A lot of your mind can begin playing tricks on you and just working on you, you know. Wonder if you'll ever work. You can imagine the enemy talking to him. You might as well just, you know, just go home and die somewhere, go under a tree. And 38 years, brah, you know, everybody's getting ahead of you. And nobody gonna put you in the pool. It hasn't been working up until now. You're wasting your time. You might as well go by one of the gates, you know, join your buddy by the gate beautiful with a little tin cup and just beg, you know. Probably benefit more like that, get a little bit more sympathy from the people. But year after year after year, 38 long years waiting by the pool, you know, that's a long day. It's 38 years. And Jesus, of all the people, chooses this man, this one man, and asks him the question, do you want to be well? And you would think Jesus sometimes asks the most, you know, peculiar questions. But of course, Jesus knows what he's doing. And of course, wanting to see, locate, does this man have any faith left in him to believe for his healing? And apparently the man did, because he responded instantly. And that's what we got to do too. We have to respond instantly. When you come down for prayer, for healing line, when a word of knowledge is given out, don't hesitate. Don't drag your feet. Come down, run down. Come down and receive your miracle. Because, the enemy works in hesitation. He does. He works in hesitation. Just that one phrase that the enemy used to Eve. Did God really say? Well, you can be walking along, you know, Eve, I don't know what she was doing. Maybe she was cleaning house, she was dusting or vacuuming, you know. And did God really say? And that just stopped her, you know, in her tracks. Those words would make you just stop and kind of question, wait a minute, did God, wait a minute, what did he say? And then it causes you to hesitate and doubt and rehearse, and then already you're in the mental arena. Instead of coming back and saying, no, the Lord told us specifically, stay away from that tree. You can go to that tree, but not that one. But she stopped and she hesitated. And so the enemy will work in hesitation, get you to hesitate, and then to doubt, and then to think about it, and let's reason this out. And then you might just totally lose out on your miracle or your blessing, whatever God has told you to do. You don't have to turn there, but Deuteronomy 1:6 says, the Lord our God said to us in Horeb, you have dwelt long enough on this mountain. And some of you, you know, have dwelt long enough in this one place to where you're a little stagnant. You need to move in faith and not hesitate so much, but just obey. Just get up. Get that command of faith. Just obey and walk out in faith, whatever God says to do, whatever we are doing. This year is going to be, I believe, one of the best years ever for the church, for the body of Christ. You may say, well, you know, you say that every year, in spite of what's going on. And that would have been the best place for some of you to say amen, you know, unless, but it's one of the best years yet. One of the best years, because God's always progressing, always moving forward. God doesn't check with what's going on down here. He doesn't check in with this one or that one or take people's spiritual temperatures. God has an agenda. He goes by his word. And him and the word are the same. He changes not. And when God decrees a thing, it's going to be set in motion and established. And we just got to get on board and move forward with him. And go and move and not be like that, you know, like an oxen or like an ox that's fell in a ditch. And, you know, he's having to pull some of you, you know, like, come on, get on board, get moving. And don't hesitate. You know, hesitation is an area where the enemy can work in. Yeah. And it's an area of doubt and unbelief that will shut down your faith. There are some signs that you can tell when you're stagnated. You can just ask yourself some of these things. Procrastination is one of them. You'll procrastinate in some of your goals, some of the things that you have set to do in your spiritual walk, whether it's just reading more of your Bible, praying more, whatever you have set before you, whatever you feel impressed by God to do. You'll procrastinate in those things, in your goals. We all know what procrastination means, to put it off, you know, just to, I'll get to it, you know. How many of us missed our prayer time or in the morning and we'll say, Lord, I'll do double time tonight before, you know, when I get home from work, get the kids, get dinner, and get all these things out of the way. And then before you know it, you drift off to sleep and you're like, oh, I left the whole day without even, you know, little procrastination. You put it off, and then it doesn't get done. And it may seem innocent. And then before you know it, or I'll stay home this Sunday from church, you know, because of, you know, I have this to do, or I'm not feeling well, or whatever the reason is. And then the next Sunday comes and it's a little bit easier to stay home, you know? And there's just something that happens to where, you know, you get pulled away, you procrastinate and you stay, and you just slowly, it's like you just slowly start drifting. And it's so sly the way it happens, but procrastination is not a good thing, because you put off those things and you make excuses. Second thing may be a lack of enthusiasm to serve in God's house, serve in the ministry that you used to love to serve in, and also lack of enthusiasm for the things of God. Some people who used to serve, you used to love to come, you know, come early. It's like you just lose your love. Where's your enthusiasm? You know, even to serve in children's church. In what area that you used to serve in before, when you lose that enthusiasm, that love, when you stop doing it unto the Lord and as a duty, you have to check and be aware of these things. Another thing may be resorting to worldly entertainment and activities that please your flesh. Now, a lot of these activities may not be bad. It could be sports. It could be, you know, a lot of things just out there that would take your time and pull you out of coming to church, coming to services, serving God. And then before you know it, you know, you're pulled so far away to where you don't even realize it. And you've lost your appetite for the things of God, working, you know. And you know, everybody has to work. Sure, everybody has bills to pay and things, but that also too can pull you out where God wants you to be. After all, He's your provider. He'll provide. God can bring things to you, you know, in ways to where you don't have to, you know, 2-3 jobs and have the sweat of your brow all the time, to where you just have no time for God whatsoever. Fourth thing could be is you have a feeling or a knowing that you're living far beneath your spiritual potential. You know yourself that you could be so much further. You know that God maybe has dropped something in your spirit, told you this, told you that, and you just think, man, you know, I should be a lot further than really where I am. And you just got to check these steps, check these things. And the potential that you have is endless. There's no cap on it. We cap ourselves. We put the limit on ourselves. The Holy Spirit will never, never limit any of you. Never. We limit ourselves. You ever heard that phrase? The only difference between being in a rut and a grave are the dimensions. You ever heard that? Yeah. The only difference between a rut and a grave are the dimensions. So, yeah. Turn to Luke, the ninth chapter, verse 62. Reading out of the Amplified, the book of Luke. Jesus said to him, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things behind is fit for the kingdom of God. So no one who puts his hand to the plow and continually looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's just like driving, looking in the rearview mirror. You're going to hit, you're going to crash. When you look back, when you're always looking behind, looking at your past mistakes, you're going to hesitate, and it's going to slow you down and cause you to procrastinate, put those things off. This is a brand new year. God has fresh, brand new things for us, for this church in store. And God wants to pour it out and bless us and impart and pour these things into us more than we want it. And the Holy Spirit so wants to get it to us. But yet we have to move, we have to cooperate, flow with God. And the most important thing is, church, your hunger levels. That is so, so, so important. Your spiritual hunger levels, not your natural hunger levels. You know, we know that that's fine with everybody, but how much you're hungry for the things of God, how much, and you'll know in the other 6 days that you're home, how much you read the word, how much you talk to the Lord, how much you desire, you know, is your hunger, your tendency to lean more towards the worldly things? Does that vie and you know, that has more of your attention than these things that would build up your spiritual appetite, because you're responsible for that. You are. I mean, we can do our part, but you still have to, you know, we're not going to force feed anybody. You know, medically, they do things when people's bodies shut down. They put a feeding tube in them, or they'll just spoon feed them. And that's because of medical conditions. But spiritually, nobody should be force-fed. Everybody should be eating freely, and because you're hungry, and check your spiritual hunger levels. And only you can change them. But they're a gauge as to how far you're going to go, and how we're going to move in these areas with the Holy Spirit, and where he wants to take us and arrive in these areas, and especially in these different flows of the Holy Ghost, in miracles, and this last great outpouring. Do you still believe that the great harvest is out there? It's still out there, and they have to come in. They have to, the people, the harvest. They are out there. And I don't see them. Well, are we inviting? Are we witnessing? Are we, you know, doing anything to propel, you know, to come in, to share, you know, to be bold about our faith and bold about who we believe in? You know, we have to reach out, you know, to our world, to the people out there. So your spiritual hunger does matter. In the Message translation of Luke 9:62, Jesus says, "No procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. Seize the day. Seize today. Make the most of today." And when you hesitate, it also causes you to be double-minded. It will. When you hesitate, it causes double-mindedness. When you hesitate, linger. Did you ever tell anybody, or did you ever do something to where you say, you're dragging your feet on that, you know, dragging your feet on something? You are in the mental arena, and there's no faith in the mental arena. Faith is of the heart, right? We know that. That's elementary. Faith is of the heart, not in the mind. So when you hesitate and reason and begin to, then already doubt is right behind you, right behind you. Hebrews says in 11, faith is your assurance. It's the confirmation, the title deed of the things you're hoping for. Amen. I brought my own amen tonight. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Amen. That's good. Say that again, Pastor. Okay, I will. Faith is your assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. When you got the title deed for your car, when you paid off that thing for 27 years, and you finally own it, and it's like, woohoo, you know. Thank God it still runs, you know, and it still starts up in the morning, and the tires still work, and it's mine. It belongs to mine. That's a good feeling. I own it. You have the title deed. When you finally pay off the church building, we own this. We have the title deed. No more mortgage payments, no more nothing. Glory to God. You have the best looking church on the island. We have a beautiful church. We do. Amen. We do. But faith is your assurance. So if you don't have faith, if you're not operating in your faith, you're not going to have too much assurance. You're going to be hesitating. You're going to be dragging your feet. Do you ever try pulling somebody who's just dragging their feet, don't want to get with the program, putting things off, procrastinating? I'll get to it later. We'll get to it, you know, later on. What's the word? Bumbai, you know, bumbai. Is that Filipino for later? Hawaiian, okay. Okay. But anyways, just procrastinate, put it off. I'll get to it. I have more important things to do. You know, those are all excuses. They all sound good. But procrastination, oh, the word says, don't procrastinate. But our faith is our insurance that what we're hoping for, being the proof of things that we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Woo! Yeah, read that again. Our faith is the proof of things you do not see. And the conviction, that conviction that you have inside your heart, in your spirit, of the reality of those things that you don't see yet. That's faith. That's marvelous. That's wonderful. Faith. Everybody, every believer has been given that measure. Nurture it. Where's your faith level? Where are you at as far as believing? You know, it's endless. It's endless. Think of where your faith was when you first got saved to where you are now. Where's your faith levels now? You know, we've heard all over the world reports, people raising the dead, giving the faith commands. My goodness, we should be seeing more and more and more of these things. Creative miracles. We shall. We're getting there. We're getting there. Yeah. But it's by us using our faith. Yeah. The conviction of these things we haven't seen, but we'll see the reality. We'll see the reality of them. Faith will put its hand into the natural realm, from the supernatural to the natural, and just pull them forward. We'll see it. We'll see it. Yeah, but again, how many of those people? I'll believe it when I see it. Carnal. Shouldn't be any Christians talking like that, you know, because you're just putting a big label on your chest. Carnal Christian, flesh Christian. You know, I gotta see it first before I'll believe it, you know. Another word of procrastination, or somebody who's dragging their feet or hesitating. Well, Can you show up? Can you come and do? Well, you already next. No, just move on to the next person already, because you're going to hear an excuse or a reason why they can't. But we're a faith people, and we're all in. Aren't we all in? We are in. We're all in. We're all in, 150%. In Genesis, the 19th chapter, verse 16, when the angels told Lot to take your family and leave Sodom now. They appeared to Lot because they had instructions to wipe out and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So they go to Lot, the angels, and they tell him, Lot, take your family, take your daughters, notify your son-in-laws, and get out as soon as possible. And the Bible says in different translations and in the Amplified, Lot immediately picked up his things and ran out of there. Nope. It says Lot hesitated. He lingered, one translation says. One translation says, Lot dragged his feet, almost like, I don't want to go. I don't want to leave this place. I mean, I know they're naughty and they do bad things, but I mean, gee, you know, it's not that bad. I mean, you know, you live among evils for so long, you just get comfortable with it and accustomed to where, you know, gee, you know, you live in the mud with the pigs, and after a while you begin to smell like a pig, you don't know anything differently, you know? And so Lot, it says, he dragged his feet. And you know, even the angel said, we can't do anything, Lot, until you're out of here. Go already. Come on. Shoot. Go. Get a move on. And Lot, you know, and then his wife was probably pining away. Leave what? Leave Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, my gosh. I grew up here. I mean, you know, and the angels just had to work with Lot. And then they told Lot, flee to the mountains. Go. And then he started arguing with them. I don't want to go to the mountains. You know, and then he started giving them all kind of reasons why he didn't want to go to the mountains. Oh, there's a little smaller town a town called Zoar, Z-O-Z-O-A-R, which means little town. He says, let us go there and don't destroy that. And so when he told the angels yielded and permitted his request, and they didn't destroy that town. But that tells me that that town was probably wicked too, you know, because the angels didn't totally destroy it, but it wasn't as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot takes his wife and his daughters to there. And because I think too, Lot hesitated, lingered, you know, there are some places where you shouldn't linger, you know, anybody... You always heard that term, they over-welcome their stay. You know, that fish and house guests stink after 3 days. You know, you linger too long somewhere and you know, you drag your feet. And be quick, up and at them and get out of there. And we all know the story of Lot, his wife. Doesn't mention her name, but I think she was pining away for Sodom and Gomorrah. And they got instructions. Just keep looking ahead. Just keep, you know, like your face like a flint. Look ahead. Don't look back. And, of course, she looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And so her heart was still in Sodom and Gomorrah. She had some soul ties probably back there. And, yeah, and even the daughters' husbands-to-be, they all got destroyed, too. They were warned, and they thought Lot was joking with them, you know. So, but because of that hesitation, you know, but thank God, you know, the angels were persistent with Lot, and he got out of there in time. They got out of there in time. But it just shows you that hesitation will cause you to lose out on God's very best. And not to mention that it's disobedience too, you know, to procrastinate, especially when God tells you to do something, especially when he's depending on you, whether it be in the small or the big things, to hesitate, to drag your feet on those things. It's just simply disobedience. Peter, thank God, Peter didn't hesitate when Jesus gave him the faith command. Peter, you know, come, well, first of all, Peter says, you know, Lord, bid me to come if that's you. And then Jesus gave the faith command. Peter, come and walk on the water. And Peter stepped out. Had he hesitated, you know, okay, we all know that, yeah, he started to sink. But I mean, isn't that just tremendous that he walked? He walked on the water, you know, and he didn't reason it out and hesitate and drag his feet and linger and think, wait a minute, this defies logic. This defies everything, gravity and just natural laws, you know. But he seen Jesus can do it. Jesus beckoned me. And his eyes were just totally fixed and focused on Jesus. And then he got out of the boat and he walked. We don't know how long it was he walked on the water before he began to sink, but still, he walked on the water, defied all the natural laws, you know. And thank God for that, you know, that Peter didn't hesitate whatsoever. Yeah. Or else he never would have left the boat, never. So the Holy Spirit will meet you in every movement of your faith. Every movement of your faith, the Holy Spirit will meet you there. Even before you move, if you make a decision, purpose it in your mind or in your heart and say, I'm going to start doing that. And you know you are. You know, Lord, I'm going to start doing that today. And you haven't started yet, but you've purposed in your mind, you've said it in your heart. The Holy Spirit already is there to work with you. And already the blessing is there for you, and the strength and the equipment to get you to accomplish whatever the task is, whatever he's commanding you to do. But take the time to hesitate and to doubt, and procrastination is right around the corner. And that's where the enemy is just waiting. We all do that, though. We all hesitate. We all put things off. And you know, the one Bible verse, I believe it's in 1 Kings in the 18th chapter, it says, Elijah came near to all the people and he said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? Yeah. How long? They addressed the people. Because another thing that hesitation causes is double-mindedness. It'll get you to become double-minded. If you're always hesitating and, you know, it just seems like, you know, you just got to pull you, you know, always like with a rope, you know, you're always got to be convinced and before you step out and do anything. Yeah, hesitation can cause you to be double-minded. And we all know what double-minded is, you know. First of all, that doesn't please God and there's no blessing in that. And then your faith just goes downhill because you're double-minded means two minds. Can't make up your mind. You're wishy-washy, believing this one day, believing the other thing. Let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. Mean what you say, say what you mean. You know, let God be true and every man a liar, you know. Be people of substance and of purpose. Amen. Amen. So we're to, in everything, no matter what the situation is, whether it's here in church or on the outside, the Holy Spirit will meet you in your movement, not your hesitation, whether it's financially healing, whether it's just in a goal, in a project, whatever it is. Just move forward. Now, I'm not asking you to be irrational or just to do things without planning it out and thinking it through and getting God to put his approval on it. No. But, you know, certain things you just got to step out in faith on. And certain things you pray about, sure. And if you have a spouse or a close prayer partner, you can get into agreement with them. But there are just some things that you're just going to step out on. And, you know, don't wait for the Holy Spirit to light a match under your feet to get you moving. If God spoke to you something, and do it. And just do it. And don't drag your feet on and procrastinate because you know that a year will go by and then another year and still hasn't gotten done, still unfinished. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, we thank you that we are not procrastinators. We don't hesitate, Father, in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, Father, but we are obedient, and we know that the Holy Spirit waits on us and wants to bless us in everything that we set our hands to do. So we know that whether it's moving with the Spirit, in the spiritual gifts, whether it's with a project, whether it's in the small things that you daily tell us to do, Lord. Father, we check ourselves tonight, Lord, that we would be prompt, that we would not be, that we would not linger on these things or procrastinate or drag our feet in these areas, Father, but to be quick to respond. And Lord, knowing, using our faith for these things, because we know that without faith, it's impossible to please you, Lord. So Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that we apply it to ourselves tonight. And Lord, we check ourselves. We give ourselves a checkup, Father, to examine whether we're still in faith, Father. Lord, knowing that that's how we receive, that's how we do transactions with you in heaven. Our faith does these things. It'll bring the impossible into the possible realm. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And just everyone pray in your heavenly tongue.